Hello again, everyone. I'm Martin Zender. This is my fellow labor in the word, Dan Sheridan. Hi, Dan.
Yo, brother.
Everybody's glad you're back. They love me, but, you know, peanut butter and jelly, ketchup and mustard, arsenic and mercury, whatever.
That last one was very, very apropos.
Oh, listen, now you're speaking French on me. We're doing Hebrew and Greek, and now you're going all Paris. Apropos. Speaking of arsenic and mercury, did you know science has proven that the human body consists of everything that was already in the soil? I mean, there's no unique element in the human body that doesn't exist in the ground.
Oh, that reminds me. I got to find this. We got to post on our website. Charles Welch did an article just on that, where he went through every composition of the human being, how it's found in the soil.
Really?
Got to find that article. I will get it.
Find it. We'll find it.
Yeah.
That's your assignment now. You got to find that Charles Welch article. And here's something extremely humiliating. Is someone actually computed the value of the elements and the minerals that are in our body, and it comes to like this magnificent dollar figure, I think somewhere around $22.14.
Really? I heard it was like $3.95 on sale.
Well, that's with inflation added in, you know, If you can get it on sale for $3.95, but I mean it's original value, mint condition, it's worth $22.
Nice.
The human body. Yeah. What 2 days ago we were talking about Romans 9 and why this message is not believed in Christianity. It's humiliating. As you said so well yesterday, people want to live forever and they don't want to rely on God. And so the doctrine of the immortality of the souls, the soul allows them to be, you know, their own immortal superhero without resurrection. Doesn't seem to bother any of them.
No, it doesn't. I think that's part of the implanted lie that is still in the heart of mankind ever since Genesis 3, when Satan said, "Ye shall not surely die, you shall be as gods."
Yeah, true enough. Oh, I just remember what the priests used to tell us. They used to drone. Nobody can drone like a Catholic priest. They used to do this thing on, that was a Catholic priest, by the way. They used to do this thing on Good Friday. It was Ash Wednesday. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And they'd put the dust on your forehead in the shape of a cross.
Right.
Couldn't find that ceremony anywhere in the Bible. But, you know, the Catholics and every other Christian denomination is wrong about everything, because the translation isn't dust there. It's the soil. The Hebrew word is ophir, O-P-H-R. And it's actually translated mortar in Leviticus 14, verse 42. It's the soil mixed with water. It's that element that sustains life. You can't grow anything in dust. You can't grow anything in dust, Dan. I mean, I'm no green thumb guy, but you have to have clay. You have to have mix it with water. It has to be soil. And so we're made of soil, not dust.
Right.
And then Romans 9, as you say, what did you say that the Septuagint translated something into, like clay, the potter into clay?
In Genesis 2, verse 7, in the Companion Bible margin.
Oh, yeah, say
God,
that again.
It says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, or the soil of the ground.
Yeah.
In the word formed, the Companion Bible margin says formed as a potter forms clay.
Right. Oh, people hate that truth, too.
Yeah. You know, I heard this preacher, I heard this secondhand. This was given to me by a friend I trust, but he was talking about this television preacher who said this. Check this out. He said this: parents can do two parents have an awesome power. They create an immortal soul when they conceive children.
Oh, wow.
Could you hear that?
Yeah, say it again. It's nuts.
Parents create an immortal soul when they conceive children. This preacher gave godlike powers to human beings.
Ouch. That's sick.
It is sick. It's a sick doctrine.
I just find that the root of all of these teachings is the pride of humanity. It's just the pride. We don't like the fact that we're created. We don't like the fact that we're soil, we're clay. We don't like the fact that we have a potter, and apart from a potter, we don't exist. We don't like the fact that our composite materials are worth $3.33. We don't like that. And so we'll embrace any doctrine that goes against it. And man is essentially made of the soil. Here's an interesting fact. I want your comments on this. Unless you think it's wrong, then I don't want to hear a word from you, okay?
Go ahead.
Before the spirit, the breath, was even blown into Adam's nostrils back there in Genesis 2:7, he was already called a human being.
Yep. Amen.
Right? Right?
Amen.
So, yeah. I mean, it says the first human, Adam, became a living soul. So,
amen.
He didn't become a living soul until the breath of God was put in him. So therefore, the first human, he was a human being before God even breathed in him. That tells me that the essential human is the soil. That is the human being. The human being is a clump of dirt. And it doesn't
Amen.
Become any more human. It doesn't become any more human when the breath of God is added. It's already human when it's just laying there.
Amen.
Amen on that?
Amen.
Oh, man, I feel
Keep
good.
Keep preaching
just
it.
Made
Keep
my
going.
Day.
Keep going. Keep laying it on us. Let's go. Keep going.
You just made my day. Well, this helps do away with the immortality of the soul. I mean, people think, for instance, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but Jesus Christ didn't really die. And yet the angel said, come and see. Remember when Mary went to find him on that morning of the resurrection and their angel of the Lord appeared to her? And he said, come and see where he lay. Come and see where he was. Where did they put him? They put him in the tomb. And so where the body is, there the person is. So Jesus, I am told, was in heaven for 3 days. But the scripture says that he, the essential man, Jesus Christ, he was dead. He was in the tomb. He, like us, was essentially of the soil. I mean, he had that divine aspect in that he had the Spirit of God without measure, but he himself was dead. That means that where he was, his body was. Come see where he lay. Okay? It's not that he was in heaven. I've often heard this. Jesus was in heaven. He was in heaven for 3 days, but his body was in the tomb. They separate. Yeah, it was a false distinction. That's exactly what I'm getting at. They separate he from his body, but actually where he was and where his body was the same thing. He was where his body was, and his body was dead. Frightening teaching for him, because he had to let go just like we do.
In Romans 6, verse 9, it uses some of the strongest language. And I always ask this question. Paul says this, and we can't get into teaching Romans 6 right now except this. Paul says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more, death hath no more dominion over him. The question I have for this, and that word dominion has to do with authority, reigning, like a king. When did death have dominion over Christ?
Oh, wow, that's a great question.
When was Christ on death's dominion? And the answer is, when he was dead. When he was dead. He was not alive when he died on that cross. He was not alive until he rose again the third day. That's the glory of our teaching. He went in under the dominion of death and conquered it through resurrection.
Boy, and those two words just really hammer that home, Dan, when it says death is lording it over him. No longer.
No longer.
just by the presence of those words no longer tells us that at one time it did lord it over him, and that was only possible at one time. That was the 3 days he was in the tomb.
The only time it's possible.
It's the only time it's possible.
That's it. So, and theology tries to get rid of this. You know, we do not do Christ any favors when we add to his glory. We don't. We don't add to his glory. We only go by what God. We give Christ the highest honor and glory when we attribute to him the same things the Father has attributed to him. By adding to him, by calling him a Trinity or co-equal with the Godhead and all this other crap, we're not doing him any favors. We're diminishing. And as a matter of fact, I think to the degree that we add to the nature of sin and its consequences is to the degree that we dishonor Christ and denigrate his work on the cross.
Absolutely. People think they're adding luster to his resume by saying that, well, he's equal, he's the same as, I'll say it that way, God the Father. But what you're doing, as you say, you're taking away from the faith of Christ in going to the grave and letting go and entering the death state, trusting that his Father would raise him. Where's the faith if he wasn't really going to die anyway?
Right? Where is it?
Yeah, so and that we're saved by the faith of Christ. Contrary to popular belief, ladies and gentlemen, we're not saved by our own faith. We're saved by the death of Christ. Earlier this week, you went to Romans 3. I think you were in 21. It speaks of the deliverance which is in Christ from God. I'm in the wrong place. Where is that place where it says we're saved by the death, by the faith of Jesus Christ?
Romans chapter 3.
I thought it was Romans 3. Why can't I find it? What verse is it?
Oh, well, we're justified by the faith of Christ.
Oh, that
Romans
verse, yeah,
3.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
By
Romans
the way,
3, what? What's the verse?
If you look in Romans chapter 3, and, I was looking at 4 here. Romans
I just
chapter
found
3,
it, 321.
Justified through their death, faith of Jesus Christ, verse 22, Romans 3, 22.
Yeah, 321, 22, right. A righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith. And what was his faith? I mean, I'll give my thought on it. You might have something different here, but
I think the faith
the death state.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yes, I agree with that wholeheartedly. He lived by faith and he died by faith.
Yeah, and the faith of his death was greater than any faith he had in his life. That's the ultimate faith, really, is to let go.
Exactly, and this the whole point of this is to glamorize death. I think is an evil thing.
People I do too. I hate it.
When people glamorize death, I remember, when you die, it's a chariot ride to glory, or it's sudden death, sudden glory, a promotion to glory. Absent from the body is to be present from the Lord, which is a misquote, by the way. What these people don't realize is that when they glamorize death, they're denying Scripture, which represents death as an enemy from first to last. And when you do that, when you glamorize death, you open the door to the devil's deception and all of its manifestations, whether it's spiritism, worship of Mary, reincarnation, purgatory, hell, afterlife, all this stuff is simply Satan's lie, thou shalt not surely die, given a religious connotation, and that is dangerous.
That's a great way to end today's show, Dan. I want everyone to consider these words. These are vitally important. We're not sweating the small stuff here, friends. This is huge. We're going to continue this throughout the week. Let us know you're listening to the show. We appreciate all your encouragement, the people who have written in to tell us to keep going. We intend to do that by the grace of God. I see you again tomorrow, Dan.
Yeah, sounds good. See you tomorrow.
All right, we'll be back. Thanks, folks.